What's up? I'm Justin, and welcome to my podcast, Buttered Toast. Enjoy your seat at the brunch table full of millennials who are spilling the tea on growing up in the I world and gossiping on why social media and technology are so important to us. It's literally like our everything.
But it's so much fluff and in the middle.
I heard she dies.
No.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
No, you're wrong.
I heard she was a ghost the entire
time. Wrong.
Yeah. No, I heard she got in a car accident.
No, they didn't have cars back then.
No, that's not what I heard.
So. It was a motorcycle accident. Yeah.
That's not what I heard. That's just what's going around in the rumor mill. But I'm not trying to ruin your book, so.
No, it's okay. Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, Pride and Prejudice. Yeah. She dies at the end. Everybody knows that.
Okay. It was right in front of her the entire time.
Yeah, she says, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
No.
Yep.
That was Sunset Boulevard,
no,
I believe.
No, that was Pride and Prejudice. So, yep. And then they're living in that White House called Casablanca.
No.
Yeah. I don't think so. No, that's what I heard. So.
All right, how does this go?
Okay. All right. Well, hello, y'all. Welcome to Buttered Toast again with your
Buttered
main...
Buttered Toast is the name of the show I'm on?
Yes, mm-hmm. Kelly Raspberry.
Buttered Toast or Buttered?
Buttered Toast.
Buttered Toast. I had no idea. I just showed up and here I am on Buttered Toast.
Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for asking me.
I know you're so busy with your life and everything.
I'm very busy. I have a workout appointment that I have to get to, but I have a little time.
Oh, okay, good. We'll try to make sure you make it to your workout.
Very important to keep that appointment.
And then everyone else in the room, Caroline and Elena.
Hello.
Everyone else.
Did you know you're on Buttered Toast?
I knew. I was wondering where your sound effects were this time around.
Those are included after editing.
You edit that in post?
So yeah, we edit them.
Part of the fun of coming up with a show or anything is coming up with the show name.
Yes.
So how many rejects did you go through to get to Buttered Toast?
Actually, they didn't reject it. They just let me choose the name.
That was the first choice. You never thought of anything else.
Well, he's been wanting to do this for a very long time.
He's very into breakfast food.
Well, I'm thinking about...
I love toast. I mean, honestly, I'm not making fun. I love toast. There's something about the smell
Are you
of toast.
Oprah?
I love it. It's not the bread thing. It's the toast. I love the smell of it.
The crunchy.
I love the crispy. Oh.
And when you put butter on it.
Sourdough is my favorite.
I like sourdough too.
My favorite toast.
Shout out.
See, the way you feel for buttered toast is how I want people to feel about this podcast. Mm. And then I also thought about if you're going through a list of podcasts to listen to and you see Reply All or Girls Just Talking. Or something
that's
like that.
Is not the name of me and Elena's podcast, by the way.
Two girls in a pod.
Or two peas in a podcast.
Two peas in a podcast.
Oh, see, I would think you were pregnant.
No, we're just like two peas in a pod. We're just like besties.
Pea in a pod, isn't that a maternity store? And that
it is, but like when you say somebody is you two are peas in a pod.
Like you're the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Like you're a pair. You just go together.
Okay. Yeah.
Like chocolate and vanilla.
And salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm. Like chocolate milk and cheese foods.
No, that's not a thing. It is for you.
We're very food obsessed on this podcast. Yeah.
Well, and then I was thinking, well, if you see buttered toast on it, I think it would catch your attention because it's like buttered toast. What is that about?
Mm.
Buttered Toast, a podcast dedicated to millennial problems and understanding why a hashtag or a something going on Twitter and a meme or a GIF, why those are so important to us and why we get an opportunity to explain why we love those.
Okay.
And then I'll come up with a better, more fluid way to explain
In Africa,
that.
They don't have maps, so it's our jobs as U.S. Americans to provide the people with maps.
That's right.
Yes. Thank you, Caroline, for that shade you just threw right
You're
there.
You're welcome.
Do you even know what that's from?
Yes, it's from
Miss
North
Carolina.
Yeah.
South. Uh-huh.
South Carolina.
Oh, represent. Yes, you must be so proud.
I claim her. I think she's cute.
She is cute.
She is funny. And doesn't that answer just make you crack up?
She panicked.
U.S. Americans.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. U.S. Americans.
They don't have
That's what we are.
Maps.
Team Miss South Carolina. I don't think she won.
Oh, you don't think she won with that answer?
Don't have maps in areas such as
the Africa and Asia's
and everywhere as such as.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so today I want to talk about. We want to get advice from you, Kelly.
Okay.
Love it.
Don't be so excited.
Love okay. advice as a millennial, because I mean, I grow up, I, not just me, but Caroline and Elena, we grew up with those Disney movies where love was just nothing but fallout romance, where it was a happily ever after. And you know, we're millennials, always say we want more, and we expect nothing less. So I think we approach a relationship the same way, where we don't want to, we expect the best for a relationship. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
No, Justin, it
does
not.
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't make sense.
It's like all the words, like in my
it's all the words in your head just
yeah,
away.
Just kind of coming yeah. out. Yep.
So what are you asking me, Justin?
Well, I didn't even ask a question,
West
did
Africans
I?
Oh, it was a statement?
It was a statement, and it was more of, what is that thing whenever you, don't
you're
breathe like that, Caroline.
That, you're saying that millennials are looking for the ideal relationship and that it should just be Disney perfect?
What I am gathering from this is,
we don't want to settle.
That we've grown up in a fairy tale world. Like, the romantic culture has ruined the institution of marriage, in the sense that millennials have these expectations and ideas of what a relationship should be. And then when they enter a relationship and they're unsatisfied because it's not the storyline of a Disney fairy tale movie.
Well, I think he was wrong in saying that millennials don't want to settle, because a lot of you do settle.
We do settle.
That's the exact opposite of what I see happening.
Okay.
A lot of people are just happy to have anybody, just to say they have someone.
Yeah,
so they
shout
stay
out.
In something that is not an ideal situation, and that is settling.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell you to settle, not to settle, because you're like, well, then it's better than being alone. Well, no, sometimes being alone's a lot better than being with the wrong person.
Well, and also, if you're with the wrong person, you're eliminating other opportunities to meet the right person.
That's right.
So you can rationalize a settling relationship by saying, well, it's the best thing I have right now. Why don't I just enjoy what I can get from it until the right person comes along? But you're not looking for the right person when you're with the wrong person.
Right. And I think there is the danger with these romantic movies and Disney movies and stuff is it does romanticize what a real relationship looks like.
Yeah. And what
I mean, there's butterflies and there's good giddy feelings that come initially, but then when those die away, a lot of people think, well, that means the relationship's over. I don't feel it anymore. And they leave. And that's not how it works.
The dynamic just changes. And you have to adapt with the relationship and learn to fall in love in other ways and enjoy each other's company.
Right.
Well, I guess I'm not fitting into that idea, where I think the reason why I haven't been in a relationship, I'm 22 and I have never been in a relationship.
Well, 22 is very young. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you think you're grown up in a lot of ways. In some ways you are, but you've got so much more developing to do. I strongly disagree. Well, I shouldn't say that, because there's always exceptions to the rule. But the person you are at 22 is nowhere near going to resemble the person you are at 30.
I would say,
if you made a commitment of a huge nature, like getting married at 22, the odds are stacked against you of having that relationship survive, because you're both going to be such different people by the time you hit 30. The 20s are such a decade of development and, you know, shaping and forming who the person you ultimately are going to become.
Mm-hmm.
All the insecurities in your 20s and then your 30s, I think, is more of a settled time. And once you hit 40, it's just like a different world. I can't even explain it to you how much better your 40s are.
And finding love and
everything is better in your 40s.
Everything
and
about
it's
life.
Hard, you know, and it's like youth is wasted on the young. That's very true. And, you know, 40 is the new 30 or whatever they say now. But truly, life, I think, in many ways begins at 40. In many ways.
What was finding love like when you were in your 20s?
Drama. Nonstop drama. And it's like, unless you're on this emotional drama-filled roller coaster, you don't feel like you're living.
Yeah.
You know, and the crazy stuff you do, and the breaking up and getting back together, break up and get back together, it's ridiculous. It's drama all the time. And the older you get, there's less drama. I think it's both because both of you probably have gotten a little bit more emotionally developed.
Yeah.
Emotionally mature.
Better emotional intelligence, as they would say on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It would.
Intelligency, actually.
Intelligence.
So nobody wants to think, you mean I have to wait till I'm 40 to find love? Yeah. Well, it's not really that bad.
Yeah.
It's really not.
Well, and it's not like you, we actually talked about this last night, how you are in this incredible relationship now.
I'm very lucky.
you know, it, but it did take you a long time to find the right person. But it's not like your life lacked love up until now.
No, I had
still had a lot of great experiences and relationships.
I had dry spells.
Yeah.
I had very dry spells, but I had some spells where I was just, right after I got divorced, we're not supposed to reveal our age and stuff, but I was in my early 40s. I had a new baby and I thought, nobody's going to want me. I am a 40-year-old woman with a baby. I dated more than I ever have in my life during that year or two after my divorce. And I don't know what it was. I was putting off some sort of vibe. I don't know what my juju was working.
How did you date? Because Tinder and Bumble wasn't a thing.
It wasn't a thing.
Yeah. So where did you meet men?
At bars, through friends. I mean, that's where you meet people. You go out and you just meet a guy, you end up talking all night, and you end up dating him. You know, that's the way it used to be before Tinder and Bumble. And I met people through friends and stuff. But I was just giving off a vibe, and I couldn't explain it. I couldn't, if I could bottle it, I would, because I, you know, would have pulled it out when the dry spell hit. I'm like, what am I doing different now that I was doing then? I don't know what I was doing. But it was just a really incredibly fun period for me, and it happened at 40. And then I met a guy that broke my heart, and then I think that's what did it for me. I think my confidence or something, it was probably just all a confidence thing, the way you walk into a room, mm-hmm. you have a vibe, an aura you give off, you can't even explain it.
Yeah.
And then once I got broken by somebody who broke my heart, it took me a long time to get it back.
Yeah. I would say that's like one of the most important things in finding a successful relationship or being in one is the confidence. In yourself and the way you present yourself with your partner.
You do not, as a woman, you cannot understand how incredibly attractive it is to a man that you are confident. Men do not like it when you put yourself down. It's one of the hardest things not to just to accept a compliment, to walk into a room and act like you're comfortable, confident. A man loves a confident woman. It's one of the sexiest qualities you can have. And all we do is, if a guy tells us we're pretty, oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh, so I shouldn't say LOL to
when a guy compliments you? No.
That skirt looks great on you. Oh, it makes my butt look fat. Guys do not like that.
What's the answer that they
say?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And with like a little yeah, I know it. Thank you in your voice. It's one thing to say, oh, thanks. No, thank you. I know, right? You got it going on. And that's what I've been told time and time again. It takes a while for that to sink in. Men hate it when you put yourself down. That's one. Alan, my boyfriend, we've been together over a year, and it really bothers him when I say anything negative about myself. It pains him.
Yeah. The last guy that I talked to, his answer anytime I put myself down was, "Well, now you're just insulting my taste."
Yeah,
and I kind of like that. He was like, "I have good taste. I like you.
That's
so
right.
You need to like you."
And I look at, you know, and I compare my, you know, my body could be better.
Mm-hmm.
My body ain't the worst in the world. It's not the best. It could be better. He loves every inch of it. So why would I insult it in front of him? It offends him and it pains him. So women just have to learn to love yourself because he does.
What about the confidence? Oh, he loves himself. So
He loves you.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about him? Where does he show his confidence and where does he lack it? Because I feel like
I don't really think of him as an insecure person at all.
Yeah.
He's very confident in who he is, which is, you know.
Why you're so attracted.
But that is, that's where we're a good match. Because a lot of times I've been literally told by guys, I can't date you because I don't want you to talk about me on the radio. Do you know how many guys I've dated that I never talked about on the radio? Never once. No. You'll never know.
No.
Because
never.
All you know is the ones I talk about. Mm-hmm. So your perception is I only talk about guys when I'm dating them. But yeah. I've dated a lot of guys I haven't talked about. But if a guy comes at me with that, you're not the man for me.
No.
Yeah.
Because they can't live their entire life in hiding.
Mm-mm.
It's one thing to be respectful at the beginning of a new relationship and maybe not air all of it. But your life is on display for people. And you can't hide this huge aspect of your life.
Right. If Alan ever came to me and said, don't talk about this on the radio. That's one thing. But he's never had a problem with me talking about us on the radio. He kind of enjoys it a little bit. It's fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a little bit of fun out of it. He's loving social media. Every time
he's very good at social
media. He's very into it.
He's
so good at social media.
Justin and I have had this conversation. Like, every time I'm on Facebook, he's
on
posting. But that's a good thing. That is a good thing.
Because he gets notifications. And I was like, I don't know how to. Yes, you do. Turn your notifications off. Because I'm sitting there with him, and his phone is constantly lighting up. Because every Facebook message, Instagram, whatever, he is notified on his phone. That's why he's on it so quickly.
Is he friends with
him? If he sees that it's you, that's why he'd probably answer.
Is he friends with y'all's fans on Facebook?
Yes. If you like Alan, he likes you back.
Yeah.
That's and sweet. Suddenly y'all are friends. So there's
that. He's better at social media than I am.
He's very good.
He's also active in marketing.
Yeah, so he knows.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. Can I ask you, what does love in your 20s look like as you compare it to what it is now?
Well, love in my 20s was insecure love. I was always questioning, you know, and now it's a secure love. It's a, you know, mature love. I don't need to be constantly testing him. You know, maybe in my 20s I would have tested him, like, okay, you know, comparing myself to other women, asking him, what do you think about her? Oh, is she your favorite? I'm getting jealous that he likes some actress on TV. I remember my now ex-husband had a thing for Shania Twain. I despised Shania Twain. Through no fault of Shania's own, but he had a thing for her, so she was my enemy. How ridiculous is that? You know, and that's
you
just,
can take her.
It's an right? But it was an immaturity thing, so I'm not insecure anymore. When you're confident in your relationship, then all that other petty stuff goes. But there's a lot of women in their 40s who haven't emotionally matured either.
Okay.
It's not just because you wake up when you're 40, everything's honky-dory. No, that's not the way it is. I mean, you just hope that through your experiences and through your heartbreaks and lessons learned, every time I give, you know, do love letters to Kelly, I'm giving out advice. It's not because I never did those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've done things that didn't work for me. So listen to me. I'm telling you, showing up at his doorstep at 3 o'clock in the morning after he dumped you usually doesn't work. Yep. So, because I've done that, you know.
I think it's funny to hear you talk about it like that and comparing the immaturity that love brings in your 20s and the drama that comes with it. And then having this security in your 40s, because I'm like really relating to that. I'm like, okay, I have something to look forward to, you know.
You do.
It's a whole nother level of love. But also the more I think about it, and anytime recently someone asked me to fill out this survey, and there were some questions about love and what I've learned, you know, since I've experienced it once or twice, and I'm 26 now. And I'm like, the older I get, it's weirder because the more jaded I get about love, because I'm seeing things and experiencing things. And it's almost like when you are in your young 20s or younger, it's that whole ignorance is bliss thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as you grow older and you see failed relationships or divorce or, you know, trust being broken, it's like
it
you have a level.
It could be jaded.
Of,
you could call it jaded, or you could be just saying, I'm looking at it through different eyes, that you're seeing what love really is and what it really isn't. But love isn't that tingly feeling you get in your nether regions. That's not love. That's lust.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, love is, you know, wanting to hold somebody's hand when they're puking in the toilet. You know, love, I mean, there's doing for people. And it's like, you know, my favorite thing is to anticipate what he wants before he even asks for it. That's my thing. I like that. What do you call that? And just, I don't know what you call that.
Just
but
knowing
I love,
what he wants before he wants it.
I want to do for him before he even thinks to ask for it. You know, that's fun.
Because it makes him happy.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
happy.
I was super sick as a dog the day after New Year's Eve. And he just took care of me and babied me. He didn't fuss at me for embarrassing him the night before. He didn't do any of that stuff. He just felt so sorry for me and he was sick. And that was, you know, I mean, love is a verb, and that's so cliche, but it's true. It's not always a feeling.
Mm. It's more of the actions and the thoughts behind it, too. Well, I guess that's what... I've been dating, and I think I lack the confidence because I'm putting myself in a vulnerable position where I never cared about how someone thought about me in that romantic, kind, compassionate way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why I get scared or I hold back of letting things out.
It's because I don't want to. You're only 22. You got to give yourself a break.
Right.
But it's important to remember and realize that love does make you super vulnerable. If you think about it, the thing that makes you the happiest in your life has the potential to
hurt
destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're opening yourself up to another person and giving them your heart, you're trusting them not to hurt you, and that's never a guarantee. There's a lot of things people do that they don't even realize, you know, hurt you. And then, of course, relationships aren't necessarily always an inevitable end, but it happens often enough, and your love makes you vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting someone makes you vulnerable. You could very well end up hurt, or you could end up happy for the rest of your life. You don't know.
Every time you think that's it, I'm never going to find somebody else, you always find somebody else. That's my wisdom speaking there. I've been many a times thinking that was it. That was my last chance. Yeah. That's it. I'll never, you know, have somebody hold my hand again. You forget how special it is just to have somebody to run to Target with.
I think, yeah.
You know,
thing that
and
that then
somebody's
not.
Always there. It might not be on your timing, but but somebody is there. But you, I mean, at 22, don't beat yourself up about, you know, not having it all figured out yet. Oh my gosh.
Well, as being young, like I want love, but I also don't want to, I don't want that to revolve all my whole life. Like I want it to find me as well.
Well, you have to, you know, I'm a firm believer being proactive.
What and because I want to find it, should I be looking for someone who I'm proud to stand next to?
Yes.
And we both challenge each other to be better than who we are.
Not necessarily about challenging. You just want to. You know, you shouldn't challenge. I mean, challenge is so, I don't know, forceful of a word.
Okay.
Challenge.
Encouraging each other.
Yeah, you just want to be better. You know, I'm a different person with Alan than I am with anybody else I've ever dated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because he makes me, I just am a better person with him. And I feel like he would say the same thing with me because it's just right. I'm not saying we have it all figured out. It's easy to tell other people how it is when you're in a relationship that's working because we've obviously got it all figured out. We don't have it all figured out. But at your age, I mean, I would just be putting myself in situations where you're around a lot of like-minded people who have the same interests.
Okay.
And just having fun and not putting so much pressure on finding the one at 22.
Got it.
Just finding someone at 22.
Somebody
to enjoy the fun stuff with.
Okay.
When I went back on Bumble this last time, I was not looking for, at that point, a forever partner. I think if I can remember my description, I just said I was, you know, I have a really cool job. I didn't say I'm Kelly Raspberry, but I didn't hide behind a fake picture. It was me.
Yeah.
My name is Kelly. I'm a single mom at the time. I had a 9-year-old daughter, I guess. I said, I have a really cool job and I get to do a lot of cool stuff. And I'm looking for somebody to have fun and do all this cool stuff with me. And that doesn't mean I'm looking for a husband. It's just like, you know, I like to have a date when I'm going to some of these concerts. I like to have a, you know, somebody to do the fun stuff with.
Yeah.
And if you're just looking for somebody to do the fun stuff with, then eventually you'll find somebody to do the long-term stuff with.
Well, the fun stuff turns into doing the boring stuff together and having having fun doing the boring stuff and
like incorporating
going to Home Depot and then returning stuff to TJ Maxx and then I mean that's literally what we did last Saturday. I had so much fun and we did nothing all day together. That's the boring stuff. It doesn't always have to be this wild roller coaster ride.
Yeah, because you're doing it with your best friend.
Yeah, it's just fun
and
having nothing to do and it's just. But you got to stop putting so much pressure on each date. You know, when I was doing Bumble this last time,
I always do. And it's like I'm holding in a big fart.
And it's
hard.
Just not
You'll
good. Learn. You'll learn. But you just have to not put pressure that this date has to be the one. This has to be the one or I'll never date again.
And I'm so dumb.
Truth.
I find myself lying about things that I don't do. And just, I don't know why they just come out of my mouth. And I have to sit back and question, like, why did I just say?
Because eventually, after 3 or 4 months of keeping up the charade, the real you will come out.
Yeah.
And then you'll find out, oh, you're not into water sports. Oh, you're not into
at
football and all this stuff. And it's like, not really. And then it's, you know, your relationship's based on a lie.
I think that circles back around to us being confident. And we actually even talked about this last night. Just we're all flawed. We're not perfect. But if you just like own who you are.
Yeah.
That is
and that's
more attractive.
Which is sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, you know, trying to, you know, seeming like you're insecure or talking around something or, you know, lying about a certain aspect of yourself. If you just, you're not perfect, but if you just own what you are, someone's like, you know what? That's great.
Yeah.
I like that about him or her.
So I guess the takeaway from this and the beautiful wisdom coming from Kelly Raspberry.
I don't know how beautiful it was, but.
I thought it was.
I was talking.
Yes, ma'am.
Everything you say is beautiful, Kelly.
As, you know, if you're out there looking for love, young love, the best thing to do is be confident.
Yes.
Be real. Be patient.
You do you.
And have fun.
Yeah,
ride the
ride,
boo-boo. Ride the ride.
Pressure on yourself. You're so young. And it's, you know, it's like you tell high school students that all they can see is their nose in front of their face. It's going to get better. Hasn't life after high school gotten so much better?
Oh, so much better.
And you're only 22. Yeah. Imagine what your 30s are going to look like and how much better your 40s are going to look like.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just crazy.
I'm already excited.
You should be excited. The best is yet to be. That's a poem or something.
That is. The best is yet to be.
Yeah.
Retweet.
Hashtag.
Subscribe to that channel.
Yeah. Star.
Well, thank you very much, guys, for joining Butter Toast Podcast. I really appreciate it.
I love Butter Toast.
Aww.
If I was eating carbs right now, I'd go have some.
Well, thank you, guys. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.